Hi, this is Zach Rogers, executive editor of AdExchanger. I'm here to tell you about an exciting new editorial product. Yes, that's right. We're launching another podcast called The Big Story, featuring our managing editor, Ryan Joe, in conversation with members of the news team. We're going to bring you an in-depth discussion on the biggest industry developments every week on Thursdays. We're going to give you a little taste right now. Here's Ryan Joe talking with Sarah Sluice and Allison Schiff about AT&T's merger with Time Warner. Have a listen and enjoy.
When you think of AT&T plus Time Warner, they will have the content. They'll have distribution because there's AT&T. And AT&T also acquired DirecTV in 2014. Mm-hmm. You compare that with Google and Facebook. They have distribution. And they have the advertising, but they don't necessarily have the content assets. They have content, but it's nothing nearly as sexy as Game of Thrones or anything that Time Warner brings to the table.
Mm-hmm. No Game of Thrones.
No Game of Thrones. But there's also Amazon and Netflix, which are also potentially competitive with AT&T. And Netflix has the content, no advertising, and Amazon kind of has all of that, plus e-commerce. Does Amazon and Netflix kind of factor into AT&T's decision for trying to acquire Time Warner?
I think definitely. And I think as a publication that focuses on the ad community, we maybe aren't always looking at the subscription side of things as much. But I think the last time I looked at the Time Warner financial statement, it's about half of Time Warner was subscription, I want to say. And then certainly home box office is pretty much all subscription. And that's another piece of Time Warner. And I think there's a lot that could be going on there, that we have net neutrality as well. And how does that factor into the subscription business? But I think people are focusing more on the advertising aspect. I think this is at least as much about subscriptions and competing with a Netflix. And how does a AT&T Time Warner compete with Netflix if they combined, because you have the distribution channel and the content outlet. And maybe you are allowed to prioritize that because of what's going on with net neutrality.
That's a really cool point, because they will have a lot of new subscribers. And they'll be able to couple that with advertising as well.
And if you think about historically, like, what is AT&T? It's a subscription business. What is DirecTV? It's a subscription business. These aren't advertising businesses, or advertising is this tiny little add-on. AT&T AdWorks is not something that we really hear about that often, although now we're hearing about it a lot. But historically, these are subscription businesses. And I think what's going to go on there will be maybe just as interesting, even though it wasn't something that really was emphasized in the merger talks, since they were more about saying, you know, we need to compete against Facebook and Google. Although maybe also, yeah, you're right, Netflix and Amazon.
And advertising was a big part of AT&T's argument for the department, against the Department of Justice. They kind of said that because the Department of Justice accused AT&T said that AT&T could potentially raise the rates of its content. AT&T said, "No, we're not going to need to do that because advertising is really going to elevate us." So let's talk a little bit about advertising in AT&T. They're building something. Mm-hmm. What are they building?
They're building a stack in a classic sense, and they have the data assets, you know, now, and they have the green light to move forward and buy some of the things they might need to make that stack, you know, a viable option for advertisers. The question might be if they need their own DSP, something like that, or if they partner, but they're just going to create an entry point for advertisers to engage with them. And the judge in this case said, here's my blessing to do that.
I get the sense this is a huge priority for AT&T. From up at the very top, the CEO, Randall Stephenson, has often name-checked Brian Lesser, who heads up AT&T Advertising and Analytics, and who previously was a big executive at Group M. Randall Stephenson has often name-checked Brian Lesser in interviews. So he has a clear understanding of advertising and its importance in the future of AT&T. Besides Brian Lesser, they also have Kirk McDonald from PubMatic. So a lot of the new staffers that they've brought on have come from the ad tech world.
Mm-hmm. It's a clear indicator of what they're building. They're creating a specific unit that was sort of in abeyance until Tuesday when the decision came through, and now they can go ahead and put their plans into action. They have specific people they brought on board, like you said, that have great pedigrees in ad tech specifically. Names that we've been familiar with at AdExchanger for years, are now really important to AT&T's future. So it'll be interesting to see actually if they hire anybody else, if there are any other roles they might have to fill.
And I would also add that I think their head of engineering came from audience science. So they do, I'm definitely curious to see what happens more on the tech and engineering side. I don't think people have really talked about for a while if AT&T is going to acquire its way into ad tech or if it's going to build something on its own. And I'm sure there are many ad tech companies that want to know the answer to that question.
I'm sure it's worth pointing out that AdZaxis, where Brian Lesser was, they did a lot of building of their own. So Brian certainly has a pedigree of building, but he's also got his pedigree is also in acquisitions as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think they want to move fast, AT&T does. And if you want to move fast, you buy. And, we're all familiar with the ridiculousness of the Loom escape. There are companies for sale. And if they want to move fast, they should probably buy something.
Do we know what AT&T might need? They've been pretty opaque, I think. They've spoken about having a common identifier and kind of stretching across different properties. But have they gotten more specific than that?
I haven't heard them get more specific, but you would think they need something like a DSP or a DSP partnership and some sort of cross-device technology, maybe through an acquisition, maybe Drawbridge, one of the last standing. And I assume they're looking for a buyer now. They've been having some trouble, so once they have that, they're probably good to go. But something that Sarah was saying before, which is interesting, is this notion of maybe an AT&T walled garden, where mm-hmm. So you'll have AT&T and you'll have maybe Comcast if all of their dreams come true, and you'll have Amazon and you'll have this and you'll have that. And it's maybe not the best experience for the advertiser in buying.
What's always interesting about these new walled gardens that come up, a lot of them often describe themselves as sort of like an alternative to a walled garden. We are open. We're an alternative to the Googles and Facebooks of the world. I'm thinking of Oath. They often use that marketing message. And it's ironic because in order to be an alternative to a walled garden, you are in and of yourself a walled garden. And this seems to be kind of the future that we are going to be looking at, especially with all of these media mega mergers that are happening, is that buyers are going to have to navigate multiple walled gardens. As much scale as AT&T might inherit from Time Warner, it's just another large area of inventory that's essentially blocked off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't say the term walled garden earlier but I was thinking it.
You could say it here.
It's a safe space, Sarah.
Because, if you say it, it will come true. Maybe if you don't say it, it doesn't come true. But yeah, I think that is what we're going to see. And I think, I just wonder how the ad community will react to this. I did get a comment from the GroupM CEO who said that they welcomed this merger as being an alternative opportunity for people to Facebook and Google. But mm-hmm. I don't know how much that holds true once you build and if you build a walled garden.
Well, it's an opportunity because they can kind of take spend away from Google and Facebook if the promise of AT&T and Time Warner holds up and, divert it there. So that kind of depletes the power of Google and Facebook. And it also, to me, it validates the need for agencies in a time when they are having trouble, because if they need to have these negotiations mm-hmm. with all of these different mm-hmm. walled gardens, it's unlikely that advertisers themselves are going to do that unless, they happen to be very big, very powerful. They've got other things on their mind. So mm-hmm. in a way, I would imagine that puts the agencies in much better standing if there's all of these walled gardens and they can kind of hop between them.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that is just the future, the way buying changes. Channels change, opportunities change. So you'll have a handful of really scaled walled gardens, varying scale. Obviously, Google is the biggest and then, it tiers down. But AT&T and Time Warner does have a lot of scale. So that'll maybe just be, like you're saying, a validation for agencies and just the way things are. You know, there's sort of this black cloud that hangs over the term walled garden. It's like the worst thing ever. It's like an epithet.
And thinking maybe five steps ahead here, I also wonder what this means in terms of agency structure and perhaps foreshadowing changes that need to happen there, because you're going to have a combined AT&T and Time Warner. It's going to have digital, TV, advanced TV. And I don't really think there's many media buyers that buy across everything. I mean, there are some groups that do, but perhaps we're going to see even more of that, because if you want to prove your value as an agency and you're, you know, you have to have all these separate teams that are each talking to AT&T, Time Warner, it doesn't really make as much sense. I think right now a lot of the advanced TV units are separate, which makes sense because they can kind of learn quickly and, you know, incubate new ideas. And then I wonder if we're going to see more of them maybe get pulled back into the agencies or like the broader agency units. Or, you know, new types of buying teams that are focusing on more than just one channel.
All right, hopefully you enjoyed that little taste of our upcoming show, The Big Story. We hope you'll subscribe and tell friends about it. Thank you.